John Rogers was one of the pioneers of the English Reformation and an important figure in the history of the English Bible, so he well fits into the category of this series, Great Christians You Should Know. Born in 1500 in Aston, which is now part of Birmingham, and in the days when folk rode horses instead of driving cars, his father made bits and spurs. John Rogers' early life is very badly documented. We know that he went to Cambridge University in 1521 and that he graduated BA 1525. And that shortly after that, he was ordained as a Roman Catholic priest. 1532, we know that he was rector of Trinity Church in the city of London. Then records show that Father John Rogers resigned his church in 1534 and went abroad. Nobody knows the reason why he went abroad. But that year, 1534, was going to be a life-changing year for John Rogers. He became friendly with exiled Bible translator William Tyndale, who at the time was living in the house of the English merchants in Antwerp. Now, Tyndale witnessed to Rogers, and as a result, Rogers saw the faith and the doctrine of the Reformation in the scriptures. He turned his back on Roman Catholicism and found himself in the full light of the message of grace. This was the personal crisis in John Rogers' spiritual experience. He embraced Christ alone for salvation. He'd arrived in Antwerp at a time when Henry VIII was ruling England. Henry, as you know, was a bit of a dictator who'd ordered the burning of important witnesses to the Reformed Gospel of Grace. Tyndale and Rogers became firm friends, but the tide of freedom was running out for Tyndale. He was betrayed and then finally strangled and burnt at the stake in 1536 near Brussels. Rogers became chaplain at that merchant house in Antwerp, which seemed to be a sort of little bit of England abroad, a house where true believers could go. And Rogers got involved in smuggling Tyndale's New Testament into England. He was hiding them with others in bales of cloth and sacks of flour. One year after Rogers' conversion, we're now in 1535, Miles Coverdale produced the first complete Bible in English. But Coverdale didn't have the Hebrew and Greek as Tyndale had had, so it was based on inferior sources. But it was better than nothing. But John Rogers was not happy with the scholarship, so he based a new version largely on Tyndale's work. And particularly important was Tyndale's unpublished translation of Joshua to Chronicles, which Rogers had removed out of Tyndale's rooms immediately after Tyndale's arrest, so that when the authorities came, they wouldn't find and destroy those precious manuscripts. And so a new English Bible of 1,100 pages was printed in Antwerp, known as Matthew's Bible. It was the major inspiration for all translations that led up to the authorized version of 1611. Of course, people were curious as to who this Thomas Matthews was. Well, it was John Rogers. Before Genesis, Rogers included two pages which he called the sum and the content of Holy Scripture. And then he included a third printed page called an exhortation to study scripture. While over in England, in the year 1537, the Archbishop of Canterbury was Cranmer, later to be burnt for his Protestant faith. And this man arranged for Henry VIII to see Matthew's Bible. Henry was asked if he would agree to this Bible being read in England. And to everyone's astonishment, Henry VIII agreed. A man who not so long ago had been burning people for putting the Bible into English now agrees to have the Bible sold in English in his realm. Those who know the story of Tyndale will remember that as he burnt, Tyndale had prayed, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." And here we are only 10 months later, and the prayer being answered in this dramatic fashion. And only 2 years later, Henry now goes further and orders that a copy of the English Bible shall be put in every church in England. And while all these events are unfolding, Rogers now completes his break with the Roman Catholic priesthood by getting married and eventually fathering 11 children. By 1540, he's left Antwerp and gone to live with the Lutheran theologians in Wittenberg. After that, Martin Luther suggested that since he was German-speaking, he take on a pastorate at a church in Germany. He did that successfully until he decided to return to England. We're now in 1548. His wife and children are naturalised, and Rogers becomes rector of an important Anglican church right in the heart of London. The gospel of sovereign grace is now thundered out from Rogers' pulpit. He was one of the most important witnesses for scriptural truth at the time. But then, in 1553, the pendulum swung against the reformers. Mary Tudor became queen. Now, that's not Mary, Queen of Scots. This is the one known in history as Bloody Mary. She was a fanatical Roman Catholic, so the future was now looking black for people like Rogers. At first, he was put under house arrest, probably to give him an opportunity to escape out of the country, but he made the decision to stay and defend the gospel. From house arrest, he went to a show trial, and then sentenced to be executed at Smithfield in February 1553. His wife, his 8 sons, and his 3 daughters all saw him burn. To the last, he could have recanted and gone back to them. But loyalty to Christ came first, and he chose the flames. John Rogers is famous in church history for 2 things. One is the Matthew Bible, and the other is being the first Protestant Anglican martyr to die for Christ at the hands of Mary Tudor. About 300 other people, including women and children, were also going to follow him soon. So, like Bunyan's faithful, Rogers was carried to the celestial gate by the short route. He was 55 years old. The married men with children here might like to think how they would have coped with a situation with your children and your wife watching as you burn. And for all of us, though we be not married and we may not have them to watch, family and friends, if they were looking on, we can only wonder if we would have chosen death as easily as Rogers did on that day.